Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program is being recorded for Sunday, October 30th, 2016. And of course, you know, I'm very grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at the in-between places. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. I want to thank those of you who are my sponsors, those of you who have made this all possible, radio, TV, everything that we do on the Aspire website at aspire.org. And your contributions make a huge difference in people's lives. I receive emails every day. I want to thank those of you who have been so kind and generous as to email me. And I want to thank my sponsors from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be able to do this work and to be able to share with you what I share here on the Aspire radio program, which goes all over the internet. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have this kind of honor. And I want to thank you. And for those of you listening who find the program hopefully worthwhile and meaningful, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio program and our TV program as we serve humankind with a very different kind of message, maybe something a little unique for your day, your time, your life. I'm just trying to be of service to you in another way. And I hope that I am not talking to deaf ears, especially today. What is that in-between place? That is a very interesting thought. And I got this from one of my listeners who wrote me about it and asked me this question, and his name is Jeff, and let me give you the question. Greg, what happens when any one of us breaks away from the norm, or as you call it, the collective unconscious, and we start moving towards something that you call consciousness? What happens in the in-between time, just before awakening and just after the idea of seeking to awaken? Jeff, this is a rare question, and I'm very grateful that you think the way you do, and it bespeaks of a great cause within you, something beyond the pedestrian mentality that most of us struggle with. What happens? Well, it isn't the same for all of us, but it is the same for all of us. The first thing that's going to happen as you begin to question the collective unconscious and what it's doing and how it's working is you're going to get a lot of flack from people who love you, quote unquote, people who were your friends. You're going to start to see the cause and the effect of how people, objects, and things started to come into your life. You will start to realize how this all works, just in that law of cause and effect. Now, that isn't the end-all law. Believe me, it isn't. But it's a beginning, and people need beginnings. So here's how it kind of looks, and here's how it kind of works. You start seeing the picture of your life, the essence of your life. You start to see the power and the significance of every single moment in your living and how this that you have within you begat that which you are starting to entertain in your life and in your mind and emotion, and then how that affects your perceptions, your concepts. And you start to believe, well, this is happening, that's happening, it's all illusion. But we like to think that it's not. And we start thinking that reality is whatever touches our skin. And now we start looking at it, maybe reality isn't what touches my skin. Maybe reality has something to do with something other than my skin, other than my beliefs, other than my thoughts. Maybe there is more to this than I believe there is. Maybe there is something here that is, shall we say, otherworldly. Now, when you start entertaining thoughts like that, socially, you're playing with fire. I can tell you that right off the bat. Socially, you're going to find as a person that a lot of the things that you enjoyed with people, they will no longer enjoy with you. You're going to find out that you have a lot of people and friends that were just there hanging on as people and not so much as friends. You're going to find that you don't have as much in common with them as you might have thought you did. You're going to find out that they slip into some very gradual states of sleep where they are not really being conscious. You'll start to realize as they start to slip away in this unconsciousness that you could slip away with them very easily, very quickly. And you will make a choice. You will either do this or you will not do this. Then the next thing that starts to hit is that without saying a word and no one talking about it, these people, and they can be friends and family, will start feeling that something is wrong with you, because if you start elevating your sense of attention towards consciousness, you will start to realize that a lot of the things that you and I believed in and thought were true are not. We will start to become maybe vaguely curious as to what is true and what is not. And that this is the way the mind works in the beginning. And then you start thinking, well, maybe I should explore this. Maybe I should explore that. Whatever it is you want to explore. It's an alternative lifestyle where you are maybe eating different, meditating, starting to find the inner order of your own being and starting to align yourself with it ever so slightly. There's lots of ways. I'm being very vague here, but I'm throwing out what I've seen other people do. For the most part, the average person's going to quit very quickly because there is safety in numbers, and that's the way people think. That if the majority of people believe in one thing, then it must be right, because we all can't be wrong. Oh, yes, we can. We've seen it in many presidential elections, et cetera, et cetera. See it in our politics all the time. So self-interest play a big role in all of this. As you begin to understand the nature of what I'm talking about here and understand the cause and effect of it all, you will start to realize inside of yourself that, oh my goodness, there is more to my life than just carrying on with my friends and being what my family expects me to be. You will start to see a bigger picture. You will start to see a life lived possibly in a different way. And in doing so, you could change your living. You're going to be in iffy moments. At times, they're very uncomfortable. I have often been in the in-between mode, going from one place to another. I have learned a couple of things about it, and I will share it with you, Jeff. Sit quietly, regularly. Want nothing with all of your heart, always. Do not seek thoughts. Do not seek concepts. Do not fortify beliefs. Just sit, wanting absolutely nothing with all of your heart. And just wait. Watch. Observe. Non-critically, non-judgmentally. Just watch and observe. Get your mind out of the way. The mind is always coming up with this or that, wanting this or that, thinking this is that and that is this. It's always coming up with something. You'll find your intuitive nature will start to grow and mature. And when that in-between place is allowed to bring to you maturity and growth, you will automatically see what is your next step. And typically, I'll tell you what it is. It is about forgiveness, an immense sense of forgiving. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving what we've done, forgiving being so unconscious, forgiving our cruelty, just forgiving. Constantly, constantly realizing I need to forgive and I need to forgive myself. You'll start to see that nothing was the way you thought it was, and everything you believed in was a barrier, not a bridge, to your heart. So that's what it's like, Jeff. I hope it helps you. And if you're in that in-between time, call me. I'm very adept at this, and I might be able to help you a little bit, or at least support you. That's the least I can do. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's interesting how people look at their lives. It fascinates me in meditation class with my students that when they were kids and when they were younger, they never ever questioned their life. They never looked at their life and asked, why am I here? What am I to be doing? What is this really all about? Why are we in these bodies? Why are we thinking the way we do? Why am I in this place, this world, this country? Da 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 da. Very few people. Okay, the next one comes from Gary, and he does not tell me where he lives. What is the norm? Is hate and fear the norm? Seems to be. Why, Greg? Gary. We are a primitive lot, Gary. We are. We're not sophisticated like we'd like to believe we are. We are a primitive lot of people who believe in right and wrong, good and bad. We live via our DNA and our genetic disposition. We don't move, we don't grow, we don't expand. Everything is around. We circle our wagons around the whole idea that we're vulnerable, we could be hurt, we could be killed, and terrible things can happen to us. That's what we live by. That's what we live in. That's what we're all about. So, the norm is fear and hate because we're constantly trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to protect what is going on in our life. And we don't want bad things to happen. So, we see something happening that or could be happening in our life, and we hate it. I recently had a friend say to me that his mother passed on and his father is moving in that direction as well very quickly. And he said, I hate this time in my life. He said, why does it have to happen? So he's come up with theories. And the norm for him is to hate the period, the season that he is in. I have a great deal of love for people that I've lost. I lost recently my dog. It's a heartbreaking experience, one of the worst I've ever had in my life. And I look at it all and think to myself, if I hate this, I do not mature. I become more selfish. I become more unkind. I become uglier and uglier and uglier. And I just keep it going constantly, remaining ugly because I didn't get something my way or things are happening in a way which I don't care for because it doesn't please my emotionality. I don't like to see suffering. I see it all the time in hospice. I don't like to see people being cruel. I see it all the time on the street, the way people drive, the way they think. You can't change the world. So, Gary, the only thing we can change is ourselves. You ask, what is the norm? Is hate and fear the norm? And if so, why? Because we are very, very emotional. We never question the vehicle of our emotionality. How many times have you sat down, saw something you liked? You really liked it. In fact, you loved it. And did you ever question, wow, why am I so emotionally positive, let's say, about that? How come I'm so emotional about all of that? No. If it pleases you, it pleases you. And we think to ourselves, well, that's wonderful. My emotions are being pleased. I'm right. And the same thing if I see something I don't like, something that emotionally hurts me or upsets me or angers me. It's still emotion is emotion. So I look at it and I think to myself, well, I don't like that. That's not right. The things I like that emotionally gratify me, they're the things that are right. And the things that are wrong are the things that don't emotionally gratify me. People never question this system, this mechanism that we get involved in. We never question it. We just go along with it. And if it makes sense to the idea of my pride and my selfishness and my vanity, then I keep it going. I never question my pride, my vanity, my selfishness. Why should I? I live in this country. I think I'm free. I'm always right because anything that feels right is right. On and on it goes. We really don't like ourselves very much. We want relief from the kind of person we've become. And we don't want to work on ourselves because if we do, it gets uncomfortable, it's no fun, and we're always in that modality of being entertained and gratified in some way or another. So what do we use? Well, we use alcohol, and now we're going to use pot. It's going to be legal. And then we use entertainment, and we use sports, and we use food. We use politics. We use anything we can to avoid ourselves. But in the end, you can't avoid yourself. You just can't do it. Because in the end, it's all about what have I achieved in my life? What has been the meaning of my existence on this earth? What have I done? What is this really all about? Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Well, it is to me. It might not be to most of you. Because the idea of questioning ourselves beyond our circumstances, beyond our mind and what it can fathom, is just never done because it makes us feel stupid. That's why we use anger and hate, Gary. We use it because this is the way we are. We don't want to see the bigger picture. We don't want to see how we've lived. We don't want to see what this is all about. We want to ignore it. And make it all just the way we want it to be. And if I live in that manner, if I live in that spirit, if I live in that way, I will have achieved very little in my life. And nothing of love will ever truly, truly reach me. And to most people, the whole effort of reaching love, real, authentic love, is not an issue. Coming to the place where we awaken and self-realize what we are, how we're living in this body, in this world, and what this whole thing was all about is not a priority at all. We're just looking for cures and answers to our emotionality that is causing the problems in the first place. That's all we're doing. It's a vicious circle that we live in. And it doesn't end because I say it will or I want it to. There has to be something broken in this mechanism. And the break is between my emotions and my mind. The assumption that if my emotions feel a certain way, that's the way it is. And as long as I live in that assumption, in that idea, in that belief, even that ideal, I will never know the way of the heart. I will never know the Heart Sutra, the way the heart lives in you as love. Sad to say, love is not very important to most of us. We'll do without it and just live off gratification. That's why, Gary. That's why. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Ralph, and I don't know where Ralph lives. Where do we go when it all seems so confusing, overwhelming, even confronting? Where do we go to get help, Ralph? Ralph, very few people ever ask me this kind of question, and I'm very curious. I wish you were sitting here. I'd love to ask you, how did you come to this? What made you do this? Because this is a great question. Where do you go? Where do you go when it's all lost? When you feel so lonely and you feel so alone in this world? Where do you go? Where do you go when it seems so confusing and overwhelming to live your life here on earth? Where do you go? That's a very, very, very good question. Most people, well, they'll turn to alcohol. That's the majority of people. Vino is very important. Let's go vino. Or now, pretty soon, let's go pot. Let's go smoke a joint. We'll be fine. We want to change our inner state of emotionality, and we like to do it chemically because that's the fastest and easiest way to do it. I've often thought about how ridiculous it all is to sit in a bar and drink a liquid that alters the way I feel about myself, only to find that in the next day, I have to do it again and again and again. What is it about us that we don't like? What is it we don't like? What is it that makes us so unlivable, unbearable to ourselves privately? We see things in the world, they're overwhelming. Death, destruction, stupidity. It's overwhelming. I know. I understand. But you've got to understand who the server is to all of this. The mind has become so addicted to the emotionality that we all suffer from that we find it very difficult as individuals to stray away from trying to please our minds and make them, what shall we say, to use them in a way that makes our emotionality feel comfortable, at ease, happy, fulfilled, gratified. I'm not here to gratify. I'm here to see the facts about old Gregory, in my case, to look at Gregory and see what is it in him that made all this possible. How is he trying to interpret all this? Gregory's a very small-minded person, in my opinion. Get it? He's just very small-minded. He only wants, you know, a grilled cheese sandwich and a great football game, and that's all he wants. You know, he's very pedestrian in his mentality. But he'd like to think he's not. He just wants to go along and go along until he dies, and hopefully he'll die in his sleep and lights out, and we can, whatever's next is what he'll do. That's the way he thinks. Personally, I don't go there with him. And I don't indulge him. So I'm going to say this to you, Ralph. Don't indulge the person who's giving you the answers inside. Awaken to the part of you that exists as pure love. You find that love past your emotions, past your thoughts. You will find that love in a profound sense of silence, of living and breathing consciously. Watch your breath. That gap between one breath and another, that pause, that's where all the answers are, in the gap and the pause between our breaths. Live in that, and you will find the way of the heart. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your beautiful question, Ralph, and please forgive me. Eh? If you have a comment or question or something I might be of service to you, please come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And go to media. You will see Satsang with Siraj. Just click on that. And, send me a question. I'd love to be of service to you. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful weekend. And please forgive me. Namaste.